Good morning, everyone. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come to in the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, where they got into a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. By now, it was dark, and Jesus had not joined them. A strong wind was blowing, and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I, don't be afraid." Then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there, and that Jesus had not been entered in with the disciples, but that they had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus.
Hello. Happy new semester. So today we return back to our John's Gospel study that we started last year. So how many of you are glad to be back to John's Gospel? A few of you, right? I think, you know, for some of us, studying the Gospels is like meeting up with an old friend, right? Because we're very comfortable with the stories and the miracles of Jesus in the Gospel accounts. But at the same time, we also need to understand that over many years of studying the Gospels, we tend to become somewhat desensitized, right, to the miracles and what Jesus is teaching. So in one sense, we have to take even a little extra effort, not to just get refreshed on what we already know, but try to dig even deeper and really find what Jesus is saying to us. Not just say, "Oh yeah, I know that story." So first of all, let's briefly review where we are in the study of John's Gospel. So you may recall that there are 7 miraculous signs in John's Gospel that point us to Jesus as the divine Son of God. So far we've studied 4 of them. Does anyone remember any of them? Joe, do you remember any? I heard somebody back there. Was it Tammy? Changing water into wine, right? That was one. That was the first one. Number 2 was Jesus healed a royal official's son. And then what? Joe? Say it again. Yep, feeding the 5,000 was one. But before that one was the Jesus healed the crippled man by the pool of Bethsaida, right? And then sorry, we don't have a swimming pool. Wish we did, right? Right, and then the feeding of the 5,000 was the 4th one. And then today is our 5th miraculous sign. Right? Jesus walking on the water. So our title today comes from Jesus' words, "It is I, don't be afraid." So in today's passage, Jesus' disciples experience another test or training as they follow Jesus. So life is full of tests, isn't it? Right? College students especially know lots of tests. right? Like the waves crashing against the disciples' boat in today's passage, life seems to keep sending wave after wave to test us. In today's passage, though, Jesus teaches us what we need to overcome life's bombarding waves. So may God help us to learn from Jesus and his disciples how to weather the storms of life. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we tend to see everything from our own viewpoint, even Jesus. When I have a financial problem, I tend to see Jesus as a provider. When I have a health problem, I tend to see Jesus as a healer. Of course, you are all these things, but help me to view that my view of Jesus may not become narrow. Lord Jesus, help us today to see Jesus for who he really is and to hear his word. It is I. Don't be afraid. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. So have you ever heard the Navy SEALs sort of saying that says, the more you sweat in training, the less you bleed in combat? Joan, can you go to the slide? In life, training makes a huge difference, right? Without training, musicians can't play their instruments. Surgeons can't help the sick. Athletes can't become champions, and so on. And even though we know all this, it is still so hard for us to really embrace training. Why? Because our natural tendency is to avoid struggle and hardship. We want everything to just be smooth and easy, right? But life is not smooth and easy, is it? Life is hard. Life has struggles because we live in a sinful world. And Jesus knew this and trained his disciples how to overcome life's struggles and help prepare them to be spiritual leaders. Jesus' training was very simple, yet very deep. In the previous passage, Jesus asked his disciples where to get food for the crowd of 5,000 or more people. He was training them to have compassion. He wanted to help them to care about the needs of others and have faith in God to do something for them. Now, in walking out to them on the stormy sea in today's passage, he's also training them to overcome their fears. Fear causes so many problems in our lives. I call it the fear factor. Often we don't even know how fearful we are until we're in a situation. Fear especially cripples us when we want to lead. What is it that you are afraid of? How can we overcome fear? I thought of bringing some live spiders to demonstrate fear, right? I was gonna give some to Maria, because I know she's very fearful of spiders. So hold on to those questions. What makes you afraid? How can you overcome fear? So we'll come back to those in a few minutes. First, let's look at the start of the passage. The passage we see here today has three main players, right? The world, the disciples, and Jesus. And the story begins and ends with these crowds of people. So according to verse 14, the crowd had just experienced the miracle of Jesus feeding them. And what did this crowd conclude? Right? They concluded that Jesus was the prophet who was to come. They were probably thinking about Moses' words when he said, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites," right, from Deuteronomy. The crowd was longing for a prophet like Moses to deliver them and help them get out of their miseries and get out from under the oppressive Roman rule, right? But as John 6 tragically shows us, these people didn't really pay careful attention, I think, to the last part of Moses' prediction, which said, "You must listen to him." Because they weren't really listening to Jesus. Look at verse 15. Jesus perceived how his miracle had affected the people, and it was not in a good way. So they intended to come and make him king by force. They wanted to make Jesus their leader and join their rebellion against Rome. These people really didn't understand Jesus. They just wanted to make use of him. Often in life, we face people's pressures. They want us to do this or do that, right? Jesus was facing pressure from this crowd to lead them. We all have many demands on us. Our job is demanding this, our kids, our family are demanding that. How do we handle all these different demands and keep a healthy balance of life? Well, what did Jesus do? He withdrew again to a mountain by himself. Mark's gospel account says, "He sent his disciples ahead of him, dismissed the crowd, and went up to the nearby mountain alone to pray." Facing these pressures, Jesus needed some personal time to draw close to God, to find strength, to find God's leading, to find wisdom. What did we just learn from our James study, right? What do we do when we need wisdom? Ask God. Right? We have to spend some quality time with God and ask. Through prayer, we need to withdraw from everything and everyone and spend time alone with God. Otherwise, we will never find out what God wants. Jesus also sent his disciples ahead of him across the lake. I think this was also because he wanted to separate them from the crowd and their wrong ideas about Jesus. The crowd was not a good influence at this time. And he knew his disciples were easily susceptible to this idea of Jesus kind of worldly kingship. Jesus also wanted to train them and show them his divine nature and who he really was. In verse 16 and 17, the focus now shifts from the crowd to his disciples. So when evening came, they got into the boat as Jesus had instructed them and were heading to Capernaum. So you can see where they were, the green dot, where they were feeding the 5,000, and now they were heading to Capernaum, where Peter's house was, right? It was kind of like their base of operations for ministry in Galilee. So from where they were now, the boat trip to Capernaum normally takes about an hour, right? Verse 16 says it was evening, and verse 17 says it was dark. And after this long day of with all the crowds, surely they were tired, right? They just wanted to get home as fast as possible and get some sleep. But Jesus had something else in mind, right? It was more than just about time. Also, these verse 17 especially reminds us how quickly things can change without Jesus. So the last part of verse 17 says, and Jesus had not yet joined them. So what happened? Look at verse 18. A strong wind was blowing, and the waters grew rough. Right? It was a very unexpected storm. So we just had this Hurricane Ida, right? It really caught a lot of people off guard up in New Jersey and New York, right? Just all the water, they were not prepared. Just out of nowhere. Now, the Sea of Galilee, these kind of sudden storms were not all that uncommon. Sea of Galilee is 650 feet below sea level and surrounded by these hills. So these features make the sea really subject to sudden wind storms that cause extremely large waves. Verse 19 says, when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, and Mark's gospel tells us that they were now in the middle of the lake, and then it was at this time the fourth watch or close to dawn. So a trip that should have taken about an hour had turned into an all-night struggle due to this unexpected windstorm. Life can still throw many unforeseen waves and storms at us. In this case, it seems that Jesus wanted this to happen to his disciples. Why? Well, it was to help them go deeper in their faith. So today I asked Stephen to be the passage reader. So I think he may have had just a little fear of public speaking. So it was a little bit of faith training for him to come up here today. But we all need to receive some faith training, right? Because without stepping outside of our box, we won't grow. We'll just stay in our boat struggling. We don't want that. Now, some of the disciples were fishermen, and they had sailed on the sea many times. They had good boat skills, right? The problem was, though, that they were depending on themselves. Normally, we all depend on ourselves to get through each day. We depend on our natural intelligence, our abilities, our health. Sometimes we don't even realize, right, we're doing it. It works fine in the ordinary circumstances, but when things start getting out of control, we freak out. We panic. Why? Well, because all we have to depend on is ourselves. And as just one human being, we're too weak to deal with life's overwhelming storms. So it's why we all need training to depend on God. As we learn to truly depend on God each day, faith grows within us. Faith that gets us ready for the storm. If we don't realize how weak we are, how little we depend on God, how limited our strength and abilities are, or how fearful we are, we're not ready to learn the value of faith. Jesus' training was to let his disciples reach their limits, their utter helplessness, before he began to help them. It was hard, but necessary. But you know what? The whole time, Jesus knew exactly where his disciples were, right? He knew how big the waves were. He knew their struggle. Of course he knew because he was God, but you know what? He also knew because of where he was. He was up on the mountain, right? From there, he could see everything that was going on over the lake. I've climbed a few mountains. So. When you're at the top, the view is amazing, right? You can see everything. The sea in this story is like the world, right? Sometimes the sea is calm, and other times the sea just batters you with waves after wave, right? There are all sorts of waves that are crashing into our boat of life, right? Maybe a wave of school trouble. Maybe a wave of work struggles. How about a wave of tiredness? I have lots of those. How about a wave of anxiety or a wave of uncertainty about the future? What wave is crashing into your boat right now? Sometimes you feel like you just can't take a hit from another wave. You're just hanging on for dear life. But even when we can't see Jesus, he sees us. He's not just on the mountain. He is where? On an even higher mountain now, right? He is in heaven, watching, praying. Hebrews says, always interceding on our behalf. The disciples, they had completely lost sight of Jesus. When they did, they let their emotions take control. They became full of fear. Verse 19b says, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were frightened. Fear has a crippling effect on our ability to see Jesus. Fear had blinded the disciples to see Jesus and what he could do. It teaches us, really, that we can't overcome our fears on our own. We need God's help. Well, how did Jesus help them? So this is our key verse. So let's read verse 20 all together. Joan? Okay. But he said to them, it is I, don't be afraid. Very short but very powerful words. It is I, don't be afraid. Sometimes when we're in the dark and you hear noises, we imagine the worst is about to happen. But we're so comforted when instead we hear a familiar voice and we realize, oh, all is well. It's not just about physical darkness here. When we're right in the middle of a life storm, when everything is confusing and we're exhausted and helpless and so afraid, that's the moment that we need to hear Jesus' voice. It is I. Don't be afraid. What do his words mean, and how do they help us? So, it is I. So, it is I, that doesn't seem so profound, right? Until you realize who is saying it, right? It is God himself. It is the great I am. It is I is telling us that Jesus is God. He is the God who exists in eternity, the God who created all things, the God who is almighty, the God who's far above all this world and all its problems, the God who can't be controlled or manipulated, but the God who is always there for us. We really have to stop trying to use God for our own agenda and needs, and simply encounter him who he is, really. Originally in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve had a close fellowship with God. And all their blessings flowed from that relationship. It was when they sinned and lost that close fellowship with God that all kinds of ugliness and tragedies and problems resulted. And ever since then, fear took root in human souls. Fear keeps us from God. Fear limits us and leads us to foolish choices. Fear makes us irrational and dark and paralyzed. Well, how can we overcome our fears? When we are at the end of the rope, our Lord Jesus wants us to hear his voice. It is I. Don't be afraid. The simple presence and word of Christ to the hearts of a believer will change even the most difficult and dangerous time into a peaceful and productive calm. You know, people try all kinds of things to overcome their fears, right? They confront their fears, they rationalize their fears, they resist their fears with their own willpower, right? It may help a little, but these efforts are ultimately limited, right? Only when we meet the living God personally and hear his voice can we truly overcome our fears from the core, from the root. We don't like it, but actually our most desperate, helpless moments are actually the best time to meet Jesus. So how did the disciples respond when they heard, "It is I, don't be afraid"? Verse 21a says, "Then they were willing to take him into the boat." Without his words, they were too scared of him. But when they heard his words, "His eye, don't be afraid," they were willing to take them into the boat. "Hey, Jesus, come on in. We really need you." So here's another teaching for us. Jesus is God who can help us even in the worst storms, but we also have to be willing to let him into our boat. Right? We've got to open our hearts to him. We have to let him steer our boat, take control, lead us. If we're constantly trying to control everything, trying to have things our way, Jesus can't help us. To let him into our lifeboat means to really trust him and let him be in control. And so what happened when the disciples did that? So the last part of verse 21, it says, "And immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading." Wow. What had seemed impossible became immediately possible with Jesus. With Jesus in their boat, everything became just so simple. Without Jesus, you know, it's like we just try hard using our abilities and really just make things more and more complicated. On the other hand, when we're depending on Jesus, everything just becomes simple. It's not natural. It takes training to really become like that. But that's what we need. So now at the end of the passage, the focus shifts again back to the crowd in verses 22 through 24. So the crowd, they were searching around for Jesus that next morning. Where did Jesus go? How did he get away? There was only one boat here, and Jesus wasn't in it, so what happened? But they weren't searching for Jesus with faith. They just wanted Jesus to do more miracles for them. So their searching did not bear any fruit. Now, we tend to dismiss the crowd in this passage, I realized, right? Thinking, well, we're not like them. We're more, maybe more like the disciples. But actually, we may be more like the crowd than we think, right? Today, believers have more tools and more resources available to us for evangelism than at any other time in history. And we call on Jesus' name more regularly in music, at church, and there's so many churches. We have online worship service, right? But like the crowd, we are often blinded by self-interest and stubbornly pursuing our own ideas or desires, often in opposition to the will and the leading of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is looking on prayerfully and with hope, with the Holy Spirit convicting us of our rebellion and our proud minds. So when we become like the crowd, we must repent. Now is the time to listen to Jesus' voice. It is I. Don't be afraid. And let him into our boat so that we may experience firsthand the power of God. You know, the wind is blowing. The Holy Spirit. When I say the wind, I mean the Holy Spirit. The wind is blowing to bring the gospel to the whole world. Right? These days, it seems to the Muslim world, to China, to Africa. It is time for us to submit to God's leading and to let the Holy Spirit do his great work in us, in the U.S. of A. as well, and through us. We have a natural desire to build up ourselves and seek our own messianic kingdom. But to do so is to stand in opposition to God's will for us to be shepherds for the flock of God who can feed 5,000 college students, right? Amen? Jesus fed 5,000 with these little 5 loaves and 2 fish. How many college students should we pray to feed with the word of God? 5,000. If that number scares you, then I have to ask, what are you afraid of? For some, maybe even studying the Bible with one college student scares you. Again, I have to ask, what are you afraid of? May God help us to hear his word today, to really hear. It is I. Don't be afraid. Like the disciples, let's take Jesus' words to heart and be willing to take him in our boat on our life journey. When Jesus is with us, we can certainly weather any storm and reach our destination safely. Eventually, Jesus will lead us and bring us to his glorious kingdom where there are no more storms, only beautiful fellowship with him for all of eternity. Amen. Amen. Let us hear Jesus' voice. It is I. Don't be afraid. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for this passage of scripture that comforts our hearts, that reminds us that Jesus is God Almighty, who walks on the water and calms every storm. Lord, it also challenges us to overcome our fears and to receive Jesus' faith training. May God help us to see how he's training us, how he's trying to train us so that we can really meet him and overcome our fears and let him in into our boat. May God help us to truly see Jesus for who he is and truly hear and believe his words. It is I. Don't be afraid. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.